Mark 4 and 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them, saying things, many things, by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. But some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 40, some 30, some 60. And I like this. And some 100. I have always been a spiritual hog, you know. I always wanted the 100. And I've always wanted the 100. I wanted the 100. All of a sudden, in the 9th verse, he said unto them, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Or, "He that has ears, or spirit ears, to understand, to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, they were about him with the 12, ask of him this parable. And he said unto them, unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Now, what an unusual statement. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven them. I thought to myself, my God, what a verse. He says, to them that are without. I mean, he was speaking to his 12. Now, we're going to have to think about this. I don't know how far we're going to get tonight. He was speaking to his 12. He began to expound this parable. You know, but he says, to them that are without, this thing is given in parables. But to you that are within, he began to expound and says, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, they're given for you. He said, but for them without, he says, it's in a mystery, it's in a parable. Lest they hear and understand and their sins be forgiven, and they'll be converted. It sounds like he don't want them to understand what he's preaching so that they can go to hell. How many of you ever passed over that verse, and I mean passed over it? But thank God once again. See, for the laws of meditation, yes? For the laws of meditation. Now, if you want to pause long enough to understand this verse, you know, before we begin unmasking the devil, but if you want to pause long enough, we'll give it to you. You want to pause? How many of you ever wondered what it meant? Well, some of you didn't raise your hand. Would you please come up here and explain it to me? Well, I thank God. And the first thing I found out through the laws of meditation was that when he said, lest their sins, S-I-N-S, sins, plural, be forgiven them, that is not plural. It says, unless their sin. S-I-N, sin, be forgiven them. The Greek breakdown on that word is singular. It is not plural. Lest their sin be forgiven them when they be converted. And so I thought, Lord, what in the world are you talking about? Well, thank God for these laws of meditation, which says, do not take a verse out of context. Well, I had to actually back up. I mean, back up to the third chapter. And if you want to back up to a certain verse, we'll just briefly explain this to you so you can get into it yourself. How about backing up to the 20th verse of the third chapter? 20th verse. Mark 3 and 20. Are you praying for me? Keep it up. Mark 3 and 20. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he's beside himself. Now, first of all, that word friend is broken down in the Greek to mean kinsmen. Kinsmen. This was relatives of Jesus' natural mother and father. And when they heard of it, when they heard the crowd pressing where they couldn't get in the house, and the miracles that was done just before that were the casting out devils, and people were jammed in this house so tight that they couldn't even pass bread, a piece of bread to each other, couldn't even eat food. His kinsmen, his relatives found out about it. And they came in and they said, he's beside himself. They wanted to take him away. And if you want to know what they wanted to do with him, they wanted to put him in an institution. That's what it means, for he's beside himself. That really means that his kinsmen, could you imagine that? Your relatives thinking you're mad. I mean, that's why they wanted to take him. And when his relatives wanted to take him, then the scribes jumped in on it. The scribes. Look at this. 21 again, when the friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for he said, he's beside himself. He's crazy. We need to institutionalize him. Now, you know what Isaiah prophesied about that bunch? He said they had a hardness of heart. Even though they were preached, they couldn't see. See, this is why Jesus began to speak these things in mysteries to them that are without. And this is the bunch that he was talking about, because they accused him of having a devil. And can you imagine a religious group getting so far away from God, so far, that the Holy Spirit is working precious, precious miracles and casting out devils? And they say that he's empowered to do that by an unclean spirit. And later on in the chapter, Jesus said, you are committing, you're bordering on the unpardonable sin. For to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you're in danger of eternal damnation. And their hearts were harder and harder and harder until a judgment was brought against them. And when them scribes and Pharisees gathered together to contend with Jesus, he spoke the mysteries of God in a parable, because it was hid from them in their bunch, because a judgment had been brought against them unless they listen and be converted and their sins be forgiven, which they already blasphemed. Let's go back to Mark 4 now that we got that settled reasonably. Let's go back to Mark 4. Now, he got his disciples aside. It's in the 12th verse. 12th verse. And seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they'll hear and not understand. Lest at any time their sin, see, they be converted, their sin, singular, should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know you not this parable? Don't you know this parable? How then should you know all parables? In other words, I'm going to expound on this, but if you didn't understand it in the form of the parable, then what basis do you have to understand any other parable that I taught? You know as well as I do that this begins to expound, I mean in absolute minute detail. The sower, the word going forth, and its potential to produce up to 100-fold uncovers the enemy's tactics and how the Word of God grows in us, how it functions, how it operates. And when he says, you don't understand this parable, then you don't understand how the Word operates. And you have no basis to understand any other parable that I have taught. What? Know you not this parable? Know you not this parable? Then how could you know all parables? This gets me so excited. This means if I meditate long enough, I'm going to understand this parable. And when the Spirit makes me understand thoroughly this parable, then the Spirit will also be able to set a precedence in me for every other parable that Jesus has taught. Oh, Sodakletia. He says, what? Know you not this parable? How then could you know all parables? And then he gives the subject. He gives the subject in the 14th verse. This is the subject. The sower soweth the word. That's the subject. The sower soweth the word. How many knows that every parable has an objective? It has an objective. And the objective of this parable is how to guard against these five tools of Satan and produce 100-fold based on the Word of God. Every parable has an objective, and the objective of this parable is how to produce 100-fold walking on the Word of God. What is a parable? It is something that I can understand with my natural mind. I understand what a sower is. I know what seed is. I know what the kingdom of God is. I know how a seed operates. A parable is something that I can understand with my natural mind, but it illustrates a spiritual application. And the application is the objective. How to unmask Satan. How to guard against these five things and turn 100-fold based on the Word of God. Yes, Kurachaka, Holy Ghost, let's get on with it. Hallelujah. Then the 15th verse says, 15. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, before the service is over. Satan cometh immediately. Now, this gets so interesting. And taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Oh, well, my God. What an insult. When all the time I thought he was just harassing me because he didn't want me to have the new car. No. He wasn't harassing me. He didn't care whether I had a new car or not. In fact, if you enter into lust, enter into deceitfulness of riches and start parting from the word, he'll give you 6 of them. You know, that wasn't what he was after. He was after the thing that had been sowed in me, which is the Word of God that would produce the new car. Now, I know a lot of you have a lot of trouble because the next one says persecutions and afflictions. And I know a lot of you have a whole lot of trouble and you think Satan's got a personal vendetta against you. And, you know, really, to tell you the truth, he could care less about you. You know, he don't have a personal vendetta against you. The only thing that he wants to remove out of you is the Word of God which has been sown in there. And contrary to a lot of our thinking, you know, we must be something special for him to launch an attack against me like that. You know what? You know what Peter says? Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. And how many of you, really think that your case is special? You know, this is, my God, this is strange, you know. This is a strange thing happening. Well, he said, don't think it strange. You know, now, just to prove it to you, Satan's not after my accomplished singing voice. You know, he's not after it. You know, he's not after me as a person. I mean, he's after the one thing that has been sown into my heart that will make the difference in all this damnable stuff that he brings against you. Don't flatter yourself. Is for one reason. And that's to remove the Word of God long before it threatens to produce a 60, a 30, or a 100-fold. He knows the longer that he leaves the Word of God on the inside of you, that the more danger that it runs to taking root. And brother, if she gets to the place where she can take root, then he's in danger of her producing. It is not you that he is afraid of. It's not you. He's afraid of the Word of God because it is the authority. It is the power. It is your doctrine. It is your life. He knows that if you ever got into an operating knowledge of the Word of God, that you're in danger of pulling that two-edged sword and slicing him down the middle from the top of his head to the bottom of his heels. And he cannot afford to run that risk. Whew. So it says, Satan comes how quick? What's he after? The Word of God. Well, let's take this one step further. One step further. And look at 16. Now, these are they likewise. And if you don't mind underlining the word likewise, underline it. And these are they likewise. In other words, the word likewise means, okay, these are people also, who the Word of God was sown into their heart. They're just like the first. These are they likewise. But now he's going to uncover two of the tools that Satan uses to remove the Word of God out of you. These are they likewise, who Satan comes to steal the Word out of, but now he's unfolding the tools that he hides behind to do it. The devil's so clever, hiding behind his mask, that when persecutions and afflictions arise for the word's sake, we blame them on everything else. We blame it on our job. We blame it on our dog. If I wasn't married and had 6 kids, I could go full time. Blame it on our family. Blame it on our finances. That who we don't blame it on is who's hiding behind the mask, the hypocrite. See, that is Satan. And it doesn't matter as far as persecution is concerned if you're in Siberia in the bottom of a coal mine and you're a prisoner of the communist empire and they stand over you with a whip all day long persecuting you. That persecution came on you for one reason, and that is to remove the Word of God before it can take root in you and produce. I don't mind telling you that it made me bear down harder and harder and harder on the Word of God. Now, once again, what is the subject of this parable? Look at the 14th verse again. The subject is, the sower soweth the word. The objective, to produce a hundredfold walking on it. Then if the subject is the sower soweth the word, then in the 21st verse, when he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? If the subject is the Word of God, then what he is saying is the understanding of the Word is the Word of God given to you not to understand. Even if the subject is the sower soweth the Word, then he says, is a candle brought to be hid under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? In other words, what's the Word of God given to you for? I mean, is the Word given to you not to understand? What's the purpose that a candle is brought into a room? Brother, once that you put the candlestick or the lamp on the lamppost, and once you light it, then you can see every hidden obstacle in that room. What's he saying? What is the Word of God given to you for? Is it to be hid under a bushel, that the light be blocked? Is it not to understand? Or if the objective is to guard against persecutions, afflictions, cares, this life, deceits, and riches, and lust of it, and not let it choke, not let it steal, not let it neutralize the Word. And these are good ground. Then what's the subject? Is the Word of God being sown into my heart? What's it given to me for? Not to understand? Or has he promised me that the Word of God, that it is illumination, it is revelation knowledge, it is the light that I need to walk by that will uncover everything that is hid in darkness, every area of my life that I'm void of understanding to the hundredfold. When Satan moves in with his attack, he says, what is it given to you for? But to light you, to supply all the light that you need to walk by for the entrance of his word. It brings light. Oh, I like that. Now let me ask you something. When Jesus, at the right hand of the Father, after his ascension, do you think in God's infinite wisdom that concerning the cross and redemption of mankind and concerning all the tools that we needed to walk victorious, do you think that Jesus forgot anything? Do you think that he left anything unturned? Then you mean when he sat down at the right hand of the Father, that redemption concerning you and I, concerning this whole dispensation of grace, do you think there was actually one stone left unturned? Or do you believe when he sat down at the right hand of the Father and redemption was declared finished, do you really believe that Jesus towards us made available every possible tool and weapon that you and I could ever possibly need to walk in ultimate victory on this earth? Yes. Yes, he did. But see, in this revelation to you and I, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the epistles, book of Revelation, All this contains the light. See, the revelation knowledge that you and I walk by, that Satan is so deathly fearful of, and he will remove it out of you at any cost. And the most ingenious cloak that he uses is religion. To a religious person, he has to use religion. He wouldn't step in with horns and a tail and tell you that God doesn't exist. But however, he will step in just like he did with the Pharisees and give you an alternate. He will give you an alternative. Where do you think religion came from? Where did it come from? You know, when I found out by revelation that Jesus took my infirmities, he bore my sicknesses, and he carried my pains, he took all my afflictions. When it says persecutions and afflictions, every oppressment caused by any kind of damnable disease, surely he's borne my sicknesses, carried my pains. Well, you know, religion taught me for many years that it was God's will to heal some, and it was God's will not for others. And where does that leave a guy? It's not true, but it's an alternative. He certainly couldn't tell me that God didn't heal. I was already past that. He had to neutralize me on a higher plane. But buddy, he did. See, he did because he neutralized my elders. We were both neutralized. See, when I found that out, more times than one, I took my bold stand on the Word of God. And my stand is publicly. You know, it has to be. About the time you open your big fat mouth, you know, and you say, "Well, I believe he bore my sicknesses and carried my pains," and Satan's over there snickering. He says, "We'll see about that." Well, the deal's on. I mean, the deal's on. You feel real good. You know, I feel good. And you start saying that. Then pretty soon, you get something that you never had before. Oh, my God. And you confess the word, stomp back and forth.
I said, I believe I receive and I pray for it. And everybody's going,
join the flakes. Used to be sound in doctrine. Believe God healed sometimes, some he didn't. And now look at him. He's with the flakes, marching around proclaiming things like that. Boy, you wage the war for a while, and pretty soon after he wears you down and you're sick than you've ever been, he starts talking to you.
Have you ever thought that maybe you're in error?
Your finances has hit a new low. When you was a sinner, it really, you just prospered. You did so good. Your business did good, and you get born again. What? I'm going to give millions to the gospel. Millions.
We'll see about that.
Deal's on. You never had it so bad. Problem is, now you can't lie and cheat on your income tax. Everything you do is stacked against you. Boy, and it gets crucial. And if he can destroy your root, he'll destroy it. But what it finally boils down to is the guy that bears his heels, bears it on the rock of the Word. I say, hell or high water, rage, storm, let God be true and every man a liar. My personal circumstances have nothing to do with the eternal settlement of God's Word. And if I die standing here, let it be reported in the regions of the damned that I was healed because the Word of God says that I was, and you're not going to take it out of me. And
you're on your way. See, you're on your way. Why do you think that I keep preaching so hard on praying in tongues and praying in tongues and speaking them divine secrets and them mysteries so the Word of God can get on the inside of your spirit where the candle's lit? It isn't lit up here. Our weapons are mighty through God. They're not carnal. They're not according to the flesh. And some of us, in our own strength, we fight the battle. We fight the battle. I said, and it's such a turmoil, such an unrest. It's such a striving all the time, almost against ourselves. Why do you think He put the Holy Spirit in you? Is a candle lit? I mean, the Word of God, it's always been there. As far as you and I are concerned, the finest theological minds in the world contemplated, meditated, write books on it. Great institutions are born. People memorize the whole thing and aren't even filled with the Holy Ghost. The Word of God's been there. It's the candle. You know, it's the candlestick. But guess what the fire is on it? Is the candle lit to be hid under a bushel? What do we need the Spirit for? What do we need Him for? The man that prays in tongues, it is the most valuable tool, valuable to communicate the divine secrets and the mysteries, that fellowship with God that causes the candle to be lit, that causes it to be understood. That when the devil comes to you and says, it is not, that you can turn and boldly declare, oh yes it is. Not because you're trying to talk yourself into it, because you're simply reporting exteriorly what you possess in your spirit, because your candle has been lit. Is a candle lit to hit under a bushel? No. It was actually designed to sit on a candle, to sit on a tabletop, that you can walk by the light of it. And I am as confident as you are that concerning redemption, Jesus has done everything pertaining to Dave Roberson that could ever possibly be need to be done. And that's what this next verse is talking about. The next verse. For there is nothing hid, which shall not be manifested, neither anything kept secret, but it should not come abroad. Every mystery hid in God concerning redemption, there is nothing hid which is not available to be manifested to you. There's not a divine secret in the entire Word of God that is not available to come abroad. This is what the Word of God is given to you for. This is why He said in 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. I remember when I started prospering in God. Always been that spiritual hog. I think that it was my hunger when I was an ultra holiness believing every doctrine that come down the road. I think it was my spiritual hunger that drove me to thirsting after righteousness until He filled me time after time after time. But it seems that I'll rock victories and be walking on one plane, and I'm thinking, boy, is it comfortable to be operating in my comfortable faith zone. And about that time He says, look up, Roberson. I said, what? Look up. He says, see that mountain? Yeah. Move it. But I like it here. Move it. But I like it here. I said, move the mountain. And the problem is that when we reject this moving of the mountain to go on, how many knows it's awful hard to hold the ground that you have and to he that has. But anyway,
he says, take it.
And I felt in my spirit, you know, that God wanted me to increase my operating expenses to believe for it. He wanted me to have several thousand a month to spread the gospel with, several thousand instead of what I was spreading it on. And I kind of knew that, but I really wasn't ready for it. I was driving down the street in my $14,000 motorhome, you know, paid for, and I really wasn't ready for this. But I kept feeling this in my spirit, and I was worshiping God, so I really felt close to him, and I cried.
If I just had this amount of money, I could spread the gospel.
He said, you got it. Well, then everything that was hid, everything that was covered, that not only in my life, but in the Word of God that I had not understood, that was keeping me from walking in it, when I made my faith declaration, well, then immediately the Holy Spirit went to work with the additional illumination and everything that I needed to walk there. And that's the way it works. So, he uncovered something. He uncovered something in me that was hid.
He said, give your motor home away.
And every little inch in me rebelled. He said, give it away. It rebelled.
And he said, you're the one that asked for the $5,000 or so a month increase. I didn't.
He said, get rid of it. I brought it to life. Get rid of it. See, he said, get rid of it. Well, he didn't want my motor home. He wanted the Word to illuminate and remove the thing within me that was keeping me from receiving the $5,000. Well, I didn't want to be deceived by riches anyway. And he said, there's nothing covered that won't be brought to light, that is not available to be illuminated in you. Anything that you could possibly need to walk the hundredfold, God has given you a personal guarantee that it is available to you. Well, let's go one more verse. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you met or measure out. Now, what's the subject of this teaching? Sower soweth what? And he said to them, take heed. Take heed. You're the one that's supposed to put the guard on what you hear. Take heed what you hear. With what measure of the word that you measure out to use, it shall be measured to you. Now, whether you measure out 30 or 60, are a hundredfold. Whatever measure you measure out, it stands to reason that if you're operating in 30, if there's 30% for one, there's 100% for one, there's 100% for another. If you're operating in 30, you're 70% shy. I mean, you could have it if you want it. If you're operating in 60, you're 40% shy. And you could have that if you wanted it. But he said, take heed what you hear, because the measure that you measure out to operate in, he said, that's simply what you get. It is up to you.
Well, I just don't really believe in talking in tongues. I don't believe in it.
Well, measure 30-fold out. Go ahead. You'll find out God will be the last one to shove it down your throat.
Well, I just don't believe, Brother Robeson, that healing's for everybody.
Then don't measure it out. You'll be one of them that never gets it. The measure that I measure out to use, it will be measured to me again.
Well, maybe I believe that other stuff.
But to believe that Jesus bore my poverty for the reason of making me rich, that is, giving me his standing. Of course, we go on to the way we think, carnally, you know.
I want it to be filthy rich the way God thinks.
And if you're that kind of steward, there's no limit to what you can do to the kingdom of God. See, that's why he made it available. The devil neutralized most of us. You know why? Because we'd rather believe that to be poor is to be humble than to believe that God wants to make you rich for the kingdom of God's sake.
Now, you may preach all that stuff, Roberson, but I tell you, and I won't believe it, and nobody ever make you. They'll never make you.
The measure that you measure out to operate in, then that's exactly what you're going to get. And there's whole denominations that the devil is cloaked and he's hiding behind. And he stripped tongues from them. They're good folks. Good folks, they're born again. Godly living people. But if you mention tongues to them, they'll take your head off. God loves them, but they measured that measure out, and God will not impose it on a bunch of them. He just will not do it. That's God. But on the other hand, if you measure out 100 and say, I want it all, then he said nothing will be hid that he won't uncover to make sure you get it. Well, I love it.